want you to turn to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter number 24, Proverbs chapter 24. The sermon tonight will be quite simple, I hope practical and helpful, but Proverbs chapter 24. Once you arrive there, let's all stand together. I'm going to read out loud, if you would follow along silently, Proverbs chapter 24. I'm going to start with verse number 13, reading through verse number 16. And it says this, "My son, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falleth seven times, and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief." The first portion of that verse is what we'll use for the sermon tonight. "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." Let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. You know the entire program of the evening, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to do what it's already started to do. What a spirit. God, we walk into your house and there's an expectation, an excitement, a thrill. There's a positiveness here. Father, continue that through our night. Get glory to thyself. Holy Spirit, help somebody with everything that's said and done in this place in the moments to come. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there if you will. I've entitled this sermon, "How to Deal with So-Called Failures." The reason I have those words "so-called" because I'm not real sure exactly what you might deem a failure, and that your opinion might differ from my opinion. And sometimes you think you're failing when you're not. But now there are sometimes when you go against the Scripture and you do wrong, it's obviously a failure. But there are other times when I think the definition of failure is negotiable, if you will. And so I'm going to talk to you about dealing with failures in life. What I'm going to do is I'm going to explain to you how I deal with it. In this passage of Scripture, it says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." Now, the word "just" here, there are two ways of analyzing that word. First of all, there are those that are saved. We're justified in our salvation. And that is a justification that is ours because of Jesus Christ. But then, a just person after salvation would be somebody that wanted to do the right thing, or they're trying to do the right thing. And so God says that someone that's trying to do the right thing, a saved person that's trying to do the right thing, he's going to fall. And it says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." Now, what God said to us here is, for every time you fall down, he wants you to have a get up. A just man falls the first time, and then what's he do? He gets up. A just man falls a second time, then what's he do? He gets up. A just man falls a third time, what's he supposed to do? Get up. A just man falls a fourth time, what's he supposed to do? Get up. A just man falls a fifth time, what's he supposed to do? Get up. A just man falls a sixth time, what's he supposed to do? Get up. A just man falls a seventh time, what's he supposed to do? Get up. Get up. You say, well, does that conclude it? No. He's saying for every fall down, you ought to have a get up. For every fall down, you have a get up. Now, someone said you learn from your mistakes. Now, if that's the case, I'm going to be brilliant before long. I've made so many mistakes. I'm being very well educated with all the stupid things that I seem to do. I'm going to tell you, I drew up a little list of some of the dumb things I've done. I'm going to tell you about them. I know you're going to listen very carefully. And had I ran out of things, I could have seen Mrs. Owens and gotten plenty of things for on my list. I didn't need her help, nor did I share my list with her. But I've done some really dumb things. Somebody gave me a bunch of walnuts, And a walnut has a green husk on the outside of it. And if you would like to get down to where the walnut is, you got to get the green husk off. And somebody told me, said, well, what you do is you just throw those walnuts in the husk on your driveway and drive your car over it, and it'll pop that green husk off. Now, that sounded like a great idea to me, and so I decided to do it. So I took all these walnuts and I put them across our driveway, and I drove forward and crushed a bunch of them. I thought, this is fantastic. When I went to start to drive backwards, I could not see real well. I couldn't see the walnuts with my rear view mirror because it was too high, so I decided I would open the door. So I opened my door with my left hand so I could look out like this and watch me crush those walnuts. The only thing I wasn't watching was the tree that was right here. And so there was a tree here, and I had my door open like this, and I'm backing up. And I was going slow, because it seemed like to go slow was a good idea. And I could hear things crunching. And what I did not realize is, as I was backing up, finally my door caught on that tree. And I backed up until my door had bent against the hinges all the way to the door was touching my front bumper. You say, you should have heard that. I could hear the crunching of walnut husks that made me feel very successful. When I realized what I'd done, I got out and I thought, maybe it'll flip back. But you know, when you bend the metal hinges on your car, it doesn't flip back. So I had to go in and tell my wife. I can't even remember what she said, but I'm sure it was loving and kind and compassionate. Then the bad thing is, there's nothing I could do, and it was on a weekend, and so that's the only car we had. Now, when Monday rolled around, I had to drive it from my house all the way to the Ford dealership, and it looked like a clown car because that door was bent all the way around. Now, that's one of the that was one of the days that I would write up as a day full of failure. Didn't go real well that day. I remember when I was in Bible college, my teacher had been, I took a class called Daniel and Revelation. Now, until you've been through Bible college and until you've taken a class on the books of Daniel and Revelation, which are just thick, gooey prophecy and, you know, beasts with 12 toes and two warts on three of them and all that sort of stuff. And who cares how many toes the beast had? And, oh, we had this test, and I went in, and I was ready for the test, and the teacher said, take out a piece of paper, and this was the test. One question. He said, only one question today. I thought, one question, good. He said, write everything that you know about Daniel and Revelation. Oh, brother, I was writing things that I know did not even exist. But I thought, you know, if it's off the wall, that's the way some prophecy is anyway. So I was dreaming up horns and toes and big ears. But I tried. I really tried hard. And the bad part about it was he took them, he graded them. When he handed them back, he said this. He said, I want everybody in the class to know that I use red ink. He said, a few of you owe me for an ink pen. He said, but I circled what I thought was wrong with your paper. So you'll find the weak spots, you'll find them circled. And I got mine back, and folks, only one circle. The whole paper. He had taken his pen and circled my entire paper. I wanted to be the second coming of Billy Sunday, and that day I decided it'll have to be the second coming of Billy the Kid. There was no chance I was going to make it through this thing called Bible college. For a while, I got saved and in church when I was 16, and there was a spell of time when I got contrary, and I wouldn't go to church, and I got myself backslidden, and that was a time of failure. I remember the one time my pastor finally, right after I got saved, he got all this confidence in me, and he said, I'm going to give you a job to do. And I thought, fantastic. And he gave me all the choir books and a label maker, and he told me he wanted me to put a label on the choir books, and all it had to say was choir on it. I thought, this will be simple. And I made them. There's about 25 of them, and I put all the labels on there, and then I handed them to him, and I was so proud of myself. And the only problem is I spelled choir wrong. 25 times in a row. I wanted them to match. Oh, my. I have made mistake after mistake after mistake. When I read that verse there in Proverbs 24:16, where it says, "A just man falleth seven times," I associate with that very, very quickly. But I'm glad that God recommended then that he is to rise up again. Folks, you're going to fail. We're going to fail. But we just got to get back up again. I am going to give you, and ever so quickly, it won't take long, I'm going to give you some observations about our so-called failures. And let these help you think about them. Let me say, first of all, to me, a failure is merely a lesson that I've learned about how not to succeed. Some of you take a failure as it's the end of the road. Oh, no. Oh, not at all. When you failed at something, you just figured out another way that won't work, and you add it to your process of success. Each failure, therefore, gets me one step closer to success. I promise you this. I figured out another way to take the green husk off of a walnut. Now, my failure is very embarrassing. But at the same time, I decided that process, the one that I tried, and it probably would have worked. It wasn't the process. It was the nut behind the wheel of the car. But I just learned. I learned another way that did not work. Did you know that when people experiment and they invent something, they virtually fail and fail and fail and fail and fail. Now, if they're not careful, they'll say, "Well, I'm a failure." No, it is a process. Failure is a part of the process for success. If you fail 99 times, but you succeed your attempt number 100, look, that means there were just 99 steps that it took to get you to your success. Failure is just one of the ingredients of success. So remember, now to me, failure gives me a lesson learned that gets me closer to success. Too many of you look at failure as the end of the journey. No, it's just another step toward your success. Number two, life is pretty much a series of failures. Do you know that you fail at just about everything before you succeed? When you learn to ride a bike, what do? You crash and you crash and you crash and you try to get your balance and you finally learn how. You started out with the training wheels. They took the training wheels off. Some of you are scarred for life from trying to learn to ride a bike. But how do you learn to ride a bike? You try and you fail and you try and you fail and you try and you fail and you try and you fail. And then finally, you learn how to ride a bike. When you learned how to walk, some of you would like to say that, well, I just started walking and it wasn't a process. It was a process. You rolled over in your bed. You started to build up your balance and then you crawled. Some of you crawled backwards first. You're still a little weird to the rest of us, but you crawled backwards first and then you learned to crawl forward and then you learned to climb up on a chair and hold yourself there. And then you took a step and you thought, boy, your mother, oh, baby! You took one step, that's all it was. But thank God for Mom, the fan club. And then you took a couple of steps and then she called Grandma and told Grandma and Dad come home and Dad said, "So what? Having mow the yard now." But the way you learn to walk is by falling down and falling down and falling down and falling down. After we fail enough, we eventually succeed. It's like the tide coming in. You go down to the ocean. When it's time for the tide to come in, it comes in, but then it goes back out. And it tries again and gets a little closer, and it goes back out. And then it tries again and gets a little closer, and then it goes back out. That is the process that we all go through. Some of you that are newer Christians, you say, "Preacher, I'm trying, but it seems like I'll try, and then I'll have a setback, and then I'll try, and then I'll have a setback." Watch this. How many of you grew in your Christian life just like that? Would you raise your hand? So young Christian, hold on. You see, I'm so disappointed. Yeah, we've all been there. I tried, and I failed, and I tried, and I failed, and I tried, and I failed, and that's just a part of it. It's like talking. When you first start learning to talk, you don't know how to do it all. You don't know how to say everything. And you try and you fail and you try and you fail. The Christian life is much like that. So To me, a failure is merely a lesson that I learned that gets me one step closer to success. Life is in itself a series of failures. Thirdly, to deal with failures, I realize that what has already occurred, my failure, I can't change it. If I goof up on Monday, on Tuesday, I can't fix everything that I goofed up on Monday. Have you heard the old saying, it's not in the Bible, but you ever heard someone say, don't cry over spilled milk? Now, I've cried over spilled milk before. You say, why? Because my mother spanked me. But I had help from my mother to cry over that spilled milk. But look, if we're all going to have failures, but you got to be careful that if you failed on Monday, that you don't spend all day Tuesday depressed about Monday. We spend way too much time grieving over our failures. Now, I think there should be some grief over failure. I think for someone to fail and it not to bother them, I think there's something wrong with your heart. There's something wrong with your character. But I don't think that your failure and your grief over your failure ought to consume you to where it keeps you from going forward. The devil, if you spend too much grief over failure, listen, the devil not only gets the victory for your failure, he also gets a victory after your failure because of the self-pity and the moaning or groaning or excessive grief. So the devil says, you goofed up on Monday. Now, when you get up on Tuesday and all you do is grieve about Monday, the devil says, I got you on Tuesday too. But I didn't do the same thing on Tuesday. I know, but the overflow of Tuesday's failure has now ruined, or Monday's failure has now ruined your Tuesday. And so, to deal with failures, I realize I can't fix everything that I broke. I've got to go on. Number four, to deal with failures, I try to learn a lesson from it, and I decide if there's any way possible, I'll not fail at that particular thing in that particular way again. Your failure, you need it to educate you. You need it to better you. But how about if you fail, you look at it and say, boy, did I make a mess of that? How about in your heart you say, with God's help, I'll never make that mistake again. I made it. I'm guilty. I did wrong. But I'm not going back there. And I would throw in there, by God's grace. By God's grace, I'm not going back there. See, folks, I don't think it's a terrible thing to fail. The rest of the human race is doing it. Everybody fails. We all do. Everybody but Jesus. And I'm not condoning failure. I am telling you that we're all going to fail. And if you're going to fail, here's what I think. I don't think any of us should fail. But I think it's terrible when we fail at something, then turn around and go fail in the identical way to the identical degree that we failed before. Hey, you may fail at the same thing again. But do you have to fail as badly as you did the first time? Do you have to be so thorough this time? I think your failure, you say, preacher, I'm a failure in life. I think you're only a failure in life if you don't learn and then become better because of your failure. I never crushed walnuts that way again. I'm a success to some degree with getting the green husk off a walnut. You say, how do you do it now? Well, what I did is I took an auger bit and I drilled a hole through a 2x4. You can put the walnut on there, and with a hammer, you can pop it through there and it'll skin it right off of that. Yeah, you want to try it? Then get your own auger bit and your own 2x4, but you can't use mine. But listen, you're to learn a lesson and then to say to yourself, okay, I failed on Monday. If I fail on Tuesday, it's not going to be with the same thing to the same degree. Now, with walking, you try and you fail, but your whole goal is to get a little better at it each time. And in some cases, you can fall and say, by God's grace, I'm never going to do that again, and accomplish it. and accomplish it. Let me go on, number five. I try to let my failures remind me of how desperately I need God's power and need God's involvement in my life. So you all know, I think a couple of our greatest failures are that we don't pray, and number two, we don't walk in the Spirit. If you and I would pray like we ought, we might have more power, and if we'd walk in the Spirit like we should, we wouldn't find ourselves in a lot of places we should not be, with people we should not be with, doing things we should not do. So when you fail, what I do immediately, I'd ask myself, am I prayed up right? Could that have been a prayer failure? And then secondly, I would ask myself, am I walking in the Spirit? Now, when we are in submission to God and we're truly filled with the Spirit, you're not going to do a bunch of stupid bad things. But I let my failures remind me of how desperately I need God and how I need to walk in the Spirit and how I need to pray. Hey, and let me interject this because it needs to be in here somewhere. Listen, be careful how you treat other people that fail. If it were not for the grace of God, you could be guilty of the very same thing that they have failed at. Be careful how you treat people. You might be making the very same mistake next. And I want to treat people with dignity. You say, well, wonder if they've committed a terrible sin. Well, I understand that's God's child, and I understand God's not going to send them to hell. Now, I will tell them they're wrong. I'll say this is wrong, and it's sinful, but they'll be treated with dignity. Why? Well, first of all, I think that's how God treats us, but I think secondly, I think I want to be careful. If I mistreat you when you do wrong, then you would think maybe you ought to mistreat me when I do wrong. And the truth of the matter is, we're just a bunch of wrong people living in a sin-cursed world, trying to get out of this mess, get to heaven someday where we can't do wrong anymore. So failure, just remember, failure ought to remind you how desperately you need God. You ought to let failure remind you of your prayer life and your walking in the Spirit. Number six. Here's something that I do. Maybe it would help you, maybe it wouldn't, but here's something I do. If I fail at something, I try to put into my schedule immediately something I'm good at so I can succeed. You say, why? Because I'll get depressed with myself. So what I do is if I fail at something on Monday, I'll try to find something Tuesday I'm pretty good at. And you say, are you catering to your pride? I'm probably trying to heal myself and trying to keep myself going. So if I fail at something on Monday, I want to get something in my schedule very quickly that I'm good at so that I make a comeback, if you will. I remember when Dr. Hiles was alive, he had asked me to speak to a great big group of women once. And I wanted to do what he wanted me to do, and I did what he wanted me to do. But you know, when as a preacher, I'm pretty used to hearing someone say amen and watching the men go, yeah, that's right, and wave their Bible. I'm speaking to all these women, and they're just staring at me, and they're so quiet, and I couldn't. So I'm up there, and I'm just melting on the inside. Now on the outside, I think I'm waxing eloquent, just trying to get through this stupid outline and get me out of this room, because it is very obvious that everything I'm saying, I can't tell if I'm making a difference at all. I walked out of there feeling like, oh, I ought to just quit the ministry. This is, speaking to all those women. And now here's the great thing. The very next place I preach was an all-men meeting. And I felt so much better. And if I had not had something that I felt a little more successful at, following my failure, I could have started a little rhythm of defeat. So might I recommend that if something goes real bad for you on Monday, maybe on purpose, tuck something into your schedule on Tuesday that you're relatively good at. Hey, ladies. If you burn something that you're cooking on Monday, on Tuesday, make those cookies you're real good at. I'll promise you it'll help you. It'll help you feel like you're going forward and succeeding. As a leader, for many, many years, I've had lots and lots of people under my influence. One of the things I would do, if a guy had a hard time, a man on my staff had a hard time on Sunday, I would make sure that on Monday or Tuesday we could tuck something in there. I'd give him something to do that I'd say, I just know how good he is at this. he had a rough time. He feels like he failed on this day, but I'll give him this on the day following. He'll succeed, and I'll rebuild his spirit. Why? I don't need him to stay down. I need him to get back up. And so, something I do for myself and the people around me is I give them something quickly at which they can succeed if they've had a rough time or a failure. Let me move on. Number seven, I ask God to forgive me for my failures. I could give you tons of scripture, and you've heard all sorts of scripture about forgiveness. But here's the thing. Here's where people struggle. Sometimes we ask God to forgive us for our failures, and He does. The only problem is we don't have faith that He does. Do you know that if you go to God sincerely, if you do something stupid at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and then you walk the aisle at church and you say, God, forgive me, and you meant it sincerely, you know what He did? He forgave you. But you know what the human race does? They don't have faith that God forgave. So they'll go back over and 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 over. Oh, God, forgive me for that. God's saying, I already did. I mean, if you want to tell me about it again, okay. Now, I'm certainly glad for your humility, and I'm certainly glad that you feel bad about what you did. But I will tell you, I think there are some times when you confess it to God, God wanted you to have faith that He forgave you of it. And then when you go back the next time and you say, God, by the way, about that sin, God says, what sin are you talking about? I don't remember that anymore. Why? He had already forgiven it. And here's a sad part. From the time you fail, if you ask God to forgive you, you know what He wants? He wants you to accept His forgiveness, get up, and go succeed. But we almost wallow in defeat. Now, I don't suppose I would still be an active Christian today if I did not somewhere along the way get my head screwed on straight about forgiveness. So what do you mean? I go to God, I say, forgive me. I do it sincerely. I believe He forgives me. I get up off my knees, and not arrogantly, but I get up off my knees and I say, He forgave me. I'm going on. Now, some of you need that. You need that. Some of you are still carrying the burden of past sins. And if God forgave you, remember, you're to learn from it. And it's to better you. And don't go back there. And don't make the same mistake in the same way. But some of you need to just have faith in the forgiveness of God so you can go on and succeed. You're wasting the potential of your life by so much remorse. And again, be humble. And be sad that you committed the sin, but get up and go succeed. That's what God wants for you. A couple more points and I'm finished. I try to use my failures as tools to teach people. I've taught my children many lessons and used my failures to help achieve it. You all, when I was telling the stories about the stupid things I had done at the beginning of this sermon, you were with me. You were having so much fun laughing at me and my failure. You were enjoying it. You said, oh, that's great. Huh? You're almost glad that I had made those mistakes. I'll never forget this. Brother Young and I were together. You remember the time we took the trip and you flew us to Ohio. I went to help a pastor, and Brother Young has pilot's license, and I needed to get to help a pastor, and he said, I'll fly you there, and he flew me there. And I had done something really stupid, and I told him about that. This is what Brother Young said to me. I had done something dumb. I told him about it, and he said this in all sincerity. He said, Preacher, thank you for telling me about that mistake you made. He said, it gives me hope. Do you know that when we share our failures and sometimes our inadequacies, it makes someone else look at it and say, you know what, I don't think they're glad you failed. I think they're glad to know that you would share it and they could get some encouragement because we're all failures from time to time. Some of you in here will remember this. Dr. Hiles used to tell a story about how he built his very first church building, and he was a general contractor. He built the whole building. He was so proud of it, so proud of it. And he had saved the church so much money by being the general contractor. And the mayor was there on the opening day, and they were having the dedication, and the chief of police and the fire department, and everybody was there, and the building was packed out, and it was overflowing. He said he was sitting on the platform, and one of the higher-ups looked at him and said, this is a beautiful building. And Brother Ohio said, I know, it's a gorgeous building. And that higher up said, and who did the contracting on this? And Brother Heil said, I did. And then the guy looked at him and said, I don't see any vents for any heating of any sort. And Brother Heil realized, there is none. He had forgotten totally that there would need to be heat in his building. Now, how many of you ever heard him tell that story before? Do you know when he would tell that story, I would go, ah, I'm so glad to hear that. Wow, that is so encouraging. Why? Sometimes we look at leaders and we look at parents and we look at teachers and we look at the higher ups maybe in life, and you don't see the flaws. Let me tell you all something. We all have flaws. Sometimes a failure can be a wonderful tool to teach. Hey, wonder if it is that the reason why in God's calendar or order of events, maybe the reason you failed is because God intended for you to use it to help other people. But I try to use it to help other people. Listen, couple things and I'm finished. I realize this. I realize that people don't forgive like God does when it comes to failures. So you all know if you fail, God will forgive you, and he'll forgive you immediately if you sincerely come to him with a repentant heart. He'll forgive you. Folks, I wish you and I could be like that. I wish we could be like God in our forgiveness. I have to tell you, some people just aren't spiritual enough to understand how to forgive. There are people that you will hurt them or let them down, they'll forgive you on the spot and mean it. And there are some that it just lingers and lingers and lingers, and they hold it against you forever and ever and ever. And they say, oh, I've forgiven you. Then why do you bring it up once a week? And so it just needs to drop. But so you know, when you fail, God will forgive you quickly. And by the way, the most spiritual people you know are the quickest and most thorough forgivers. They won't throw it in your face constantly. The more it's thrown in your face, the less spiritual the individual. And so, and God's not like that, obviously. Finally, this is it. I'm finished. In regard to failure, remember the verse, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. An attitude that I've tried to develop in life is this. If I fail in a given area, I would like to see if I could develop that area into being a strength. I'd like it, if possible, to become a strength rather than continuing to be a weakness. In other words, I don't think I want to submit to that area of failure. And there's some of you say, well, I tried and I failed. I just give up. You know, there's some of you right now, there's something in your life that you know ought to change in your life, and you failed at it, so you've just given up. I'm just not put together right to succeed that way. Don't say that. Don't submit to your failure. You say, I just don't have the character. Then get the character. What Satan thought he could use to destroy you, keep you down, and minimize you, you know what I'd do? He says, I've got this weapon I'm going to use against you. So you fail. And if you're not careful, he'll just keep using that weapon against you. You'll make peace with your failure. You make friends with your weakness. You know what I try to do? The devil comes at me with a particular weapon. He's going to attack me with it. Here's my intent. I plan to take the weapon away from him and beat the snot out of him with it for the rest of my life. I've got two books that I've written on the subject of character. I have a children's book. I have a series on MP3 that's got over 40 sermons on the subject of character. Growing up, I struggled with that terribly. My mother, when I was a kid, she'd say, clean your room. I didn't want to clean my room. She'd pick up your clothes. I didn't want to pick up my clothes. My dad'd say, mow the yard. I didn't want to mow the yard. And I just kept on hearing this thing. You've got to have character. You've got to have character. You've got to have character. It was my weakness. It's terrible. Late. Some of you are late for everything. That's poor character, just so you know. It's poor character to be late for everything. You make peace with it. I decided not to. And so, I decided, by God's grace, I will not let my weakness be accepted with me. So I started working on the thing of character. It's still a battle. I'm still working on, I still want to develop my character to a degree, obviously, as you all see. I mean, you see me, but I struggle with my character to this day. But I'll tell you what, I have written 3 books about the subject. I have studied the subject. I have attacked the issues of character in my own personal life. I don't mean this in a bragging way, but usually if I tell you I'm going to do something, I do it, no matter what it costs me to get it done. And if I tell you I'm going to be there, I'll be there. And if I'm not a good person, it's my weakness. So I've attacked my weakness, and I said I'm not going to let that weakness dominate me. I'm not going to let it take me over. And so what the devil, the tool, the sword that he came to destroy me with, I grabbed it and I said, I'm going to use this to better me, and I want to be a better me. Folks, if every one of us would just take our failures, turn it around and turn it into a strength, boy, would we have victory in the Christian life. I don't think God intended for you to stay down. Don't ever forget. For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. And we're talking about at work and in our parenting and in our friendships and in our marriages and in our Christianity and our Bible reading and our prayer life and our separation and all of it. If you fall down, get up. If you fall down, get up. And let the failures launch you into a series of successes. And I think God will get the glory from your failure that way. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I think all of us need encouragement from time to time on the subject of our failures, our inadequacies, our sins. Who here tonight would say, in the presence of God, I've got to learn how to better handle my failures in life. And God's spoken to me tonight. Brother Owens, I think I can pull something out of that sermon and it's going to help me. And that's what I came to church for, to get that help. Who could raise your hand to the sky and let God see it? And I think lots of hands. Absolutely, we all need the encouragement. We're going to have a time of altar call. If you need the altar, you come. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. As a Christian, oh, we're going to fail. We're going to fail. Oh, but the goal is to get back up. If you're down right now, get back up. You say it's over the same stupid thing. Get back up. Try again. Be patient with people around you as they fail. A just man, a saved man that's trying to do right, he's going to fail. He's going to fall 7 times. But if he wants to be a just man, he's just got to get back up every time he fails. Don't forget it. Failure's just another element in the success ingredients. Life is a series of failures. You can't change what you've already failed at. Decide not to fail at it as drastically or fail at it at all again. Realize how much you need God and prayer. Find something you're good at right after you fail and kind of get yourself encouraged again. Ask for God's forgiveness and claim it. Teach people from your failures. Let God get something good out of it and learn personally to forgive quickly. Maybe it is you ought to set the goal of making your weakness into a strength. Sure wouldn't hurt you. This is the last time through the song, and then we'll get right into our business meeting.